the Fantasy Six Pack Hour with your hosts Joe Bond and AJ Appleton.
Touchdown!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, Mr. AJ Appelgarth. What is up, man?
Not much. Just rocking out my fresh cut here, fresh shave for the most part, leaving the dirty stash.
It always looks interesting when you just have the stash. It's
Yeah. You're welcome.
Good times. No, no.
And nope. You thought I couldn't be silly and stupid.
I mean, this is more creepy.
Fair enough.
Yeah, there we go. All right. So tonight we're going to be going into some quarterback debate, looking at some ADPs and, pairing some of these quarterbacks together, not necessarily that they're like right next to each other in ADP, but just pairing some quarterbacks together that have similar, in my opinion, similar games, and just kind of doing the debate, which one do we like more and why. But before we jump into all that, just want to remind everybody to hit those subscribe buttons, like buttons, whatever it is, wherever you're listening or watching, we appreciate it. And of course, become an all-access member of our Fantasy Six Pack. You get access to our draft cheat sheet, which actually was just updated today. New fresh ADP data, new fresh projections. So good to go there. Those will be updated all off-season as well. But we've got, obviously, the projections are actually there on the site as well for you to use at your own leisure. We've got our award-winning rankings. We've got our Discord. We're going to have DFS content and all that kind of stuff during the season as well. Go to fantasysixpack.net/plans. Use promo code F, the number 6P, and then NFL for 15% off. So, I'm ready to move on. Let's bring in our guests. And first, we will bring in Kelly Singh, Trophy Smack, employee over there, runs the show, in my opinion. Like, it would not survive without you.
Probably that's a close call there, I would say.
Yeah. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. If I could also club fantasy and women of fantasy football, yes, which absolutely. We will be rolling out in August, so everybody hang out for that. But yeah, awesome. Trophy Smack, a blast, love it.
Awesome.
Love, yeah. Matt Walsh. Engage with us.
He is very funny. My introduction to him was quite loud at the first expo I went to. So I don't know if you know the story. So this was two expos ago.
Okay.
They traveled obviously all the way from California. All of their trophies exploded on the plane ride over.
Yeah.
So none of the balls
was broken. Yeah.
Everything was broken. So we had a booth and I had our two trophies from the top, being top five in Fantasy Pros rankings. So I'm walking downstairs to go set up my booth and all I hear from like the far corner of the hotel is just, yes, yes, yes. And I was like, what in the living hell was that?
Yeah.
Never knew who Matt Walsh was before that time, but quickly found out who he was.
Yeah.
Awesome dude. I love him. Bringing on the next guest here, Jeff Lambert of Going for Two, the founder over there. Got to thank you before we do anything else for the great ADP data that went into our cheat sheet. You do great things over there, Going for Two, man. The Discord you guys got there for Scott Fish is top notch. I love it. So how's it going tonight, man?
Good, man. Good. Glad to be here. Glad to see y'all two again. And the first time on a podcast with Kelly. I see her all over Twitter and everything else, but this is the first time actually podcasting with her. Nice to meet you, Kelly.
Yes, you too. Exciting.
Yeah,
so... Fantasy six pack, bringing people together. That's what we do.
All right, we're going to be jumping into some quarterback debates, like I said, and starting right off the bat, you've got to start off with these first three. They're clumped up at the very top. They're the first three quarterbacks going off in every draft I've been in. Not necessarily in this order, but it is Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts. Right now, I'm using the sleeper ADP as of, I think it was like a week or so ago, is what I've got right now. But Patrick Mahomes was all the way up at 15 overall. He's quarterback one. Josh Allen at 22.5, and Jalen Hurts at 23.5-ish at QB3. Look, like I said, these three are off the board, 1, 2, 3, in some sort of order. Kelly, I'll start with you. Do you believe in grabbing one of these three who have sort of separated themselves from the rest of the QB field? And if so, which one?
Yeah, of course. So I was on the Jalen Hurts train before there was a Jalen Hurts train, because for some reason, people don't like to look at fantasy points when they're drafting. Jalen Hurts is a fantasy points machine. I don't care if the Eagles were terrible or if the Eagles were amazing. He was still bringing 30 plus points per game. Jalen Hurts all the way.
Yes.
Says the Eagles.
You're here.
I'm second above you.
Yes, obviously I'm a huge Jalen fan. But going into last year, it was kind of questionable. We didn't know, you know, from an NFL standpoint, mm-hmm. was he the guy? You know, obviously he was kind of the safety gap because they weren't sure if Carson Wentz was the guy. Clearly he was not once the injuries pretty much derailed him, and then his attitude helped continue to derail him. But I mean, last year was a complete breakout, you know, the definition of a player breakout, and he proved everybody wrong, and it was awesome. It was awesome to watch. Awesome to have him as, you know, my QB1 on many of my fantasy teams. So to me, he's still number one, but Mahomes is right there for me too. It's kind of a 1-1A. And it really depends on my league settings, actually. That's what's going to be the decider for me. If I have a league where I know I'm getting extra points per rush, or, you know, something other than that, you know, just rushing yards in general, he's going to get you those points. He's
right.
Probably not going to have all the touchdowns that Mahomes will have through the air, but overall touchdowns, it's close too.
But don't you think it's important to call out the difference between a franchise quarterback or a winning quarterback on a winning team versus a fantasy draft pick? Because like I said, over the last 3 years with Jalen Hurts, it's been pretty consistent, high scoring, if not the highest scorer on my team. So I feel like people really overlook that.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And that's, you know, that's one of the fun things we like to do, is just break up those differences between real life and fantasy.
Jeff, what about you, man? One of these three, are you targeting them in drafts? Like, are you willing to spend, you know, they're all going within the first two rounds, you know, according to ADP right now. Are you willing to spend that? And if so, which one?
Yeah, so I'm going to piggyback on what AJ said about, you know, league settings. And, you know, I've seen Scott Fishbowl. We're all in Scott Fishbowl, and you get that first down point. You get the, you know, so that's going to kind of sway it a little bit for me. You get the points per carry as well. So if you're talking some league like that, then obviously Jalen Hurts is probably the top one in that group. More traditional scoring, you're going to look at more at Patrick Mahomes, because he's going to put up the points with his arm.
Right.
He doesn't need his leg necessarily to put up those kind of points. And then, of course, you got your 6-point passing touchdown leagues and your 4-point passing touchdown leagues. So that also is going to sway me one way or the other. And as far as grabbing them, you know, where they're going in the ADP, I've always been a wait on quarterback guy. However, last year kind of changed me a little bit. I play a lot of DFS, which is very similar to redraft. You know, you got your new team every week, similarly. But the tier of quarterbacks really drops off. You got the top three, you know, you get that little mid tier that we'll talk about here in a minute. And then after that, it really kind of drops off, not a lot more than it used to. It used to be, you know, a lot more even after the first two or three. It was a little bit more gradual as you go down. But there's really a tier break that's, if you're going to spend up on the quarterbacks, I have no problem going with one of these three quarterbacks to get, you know, to get that guy, lock him in. You know, you're going to have him in your lineup every single week. You're never going to put anybody else in there. And then you can spend the rest of your draft building your receivers and your running backs, which, you know, it's easier to hit on a late round running back or a late round receiver than it is to hit on a late round quarterback. So if you're going to take one of these guys in that second round, I have no problem with that.
Yeah. I got to give credit to our producer, Mike LaPlante. He is starting to convince me that, and same thing as what you're just saying now, Jeff, is that these like top end quarterbacks are worth the value at this point because of it is now they are difference makers. Like there is a large gap if they repeat what they did. However, I do have to disagree with you a little bit as far as like the scoring settings. When you mentioned Scott Fishbowl, especially this year, my one is Allen. The thing that hurt him the most last year was all the interceptions.
Yeah, and you don't get that.
He's not going to have the negative points this year.
Yep.
And so now you tack on the rushing that he's going to give over the Mahomes, and he can basically do the same thing with his arm that Mahomes can, maybe less yardage and slightly less touchdowns. But those extra rushing yards and the extra touchdowns that he's going to give you in the rushing game put him at the number one for me there. But all three of these guys are really good. I have my reservations with Jalen Hurts at like right there with them. Like as a repeat, he's going to need to do the same thing with his legs again. I mean, he had 13 rushing touchdowns. That's hard to repeat for a quarterback.
One big question I have is, and I haven't heard if they've changed the rule. I know they've talked about it, but the infamous quarterback sneak where they push him in the back.
Right. I don't know.
They get rid of that. They didn't get rid of that.
I know they talked about it, but
yeah. I haven't heard anything official about it. Just rumors about them. Yeah, just rumors. Nothing official. So as of right now, it's still a
good Kelly's got the fans.
The butt push.
So that I mean it. That right there to get the first down and you get credited with the rush as well. So I mean
that's pretty crazy. But again, yeah. I think Hurts is fine here. But honestly, like if I'm gonna reach for these high end quarterbacks, I want Mahomes and Allen. If I don't get one of those two, I'm probably not taking Hurts at that cost. I'm gonna be able to. I'll be fine with a Burrow or something like that. Like I'm just gonna like I think he's fine, but I do think there is slight regression for him built in here because he doesn't throw the ball as much as these other guys do.
And how do you explain still gaining fantasy points? Let's just say a normal, even a super flex league, a horrible Eagles team with really, I'm sorry, Eagles fan, but that 3 years ago, let's say, no chance, even 2 years ago, no, not really a good chance, and still putting up, I would say averaging 30. I want to look at that stat, but I remember thinking, man, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. And going back to scoring, Scott Fishbowl is very unique, obviously.
Right.
But yeah. I did have Josh Allen stacked with Stephon Diggs. And made it to the quarterfinals last year. So I do see what you're saying there, but I feel like I don't know if Josh Allen can be a standalone in that kind of a situation. But maybe I'm being controversial.
I mean, without the interceptions, I mean, that was the big knock on him last year was that he was throwing too many interceptions. And, you know, the thing with me is, like, I know Jalen Hurts is productive. He just doesn't throw as much passing touchdowns for me to feel comfortable having him at a second round draft cost right now.
Yeah.
If you go after a quarterback, you do need that safety net that he's going to be able to throw passing touchdowns in the 30s at least. And I don't know if he's got it in him.
Well, I think he does have it in him. We haven't quite seen it yet, but he's just progressed every year.
Yeah, of course.
As Kelly was saying. And the other thing to take into account here is because the Eagles had such a crap schedule last year, thanks to the year before, this year their schedule is going to be very tough. They're going to have to be throwing the ball more to be either winning or staying in these games this year. They've got a ridiculous schedule. So,
and look, there was a reason why we saw progression. A, he's becoming a better quarterback, hands down. But look, they drafted in the second year, they drafted Devonta Smith. And then last year they traded for AJ Brown. So like he's gained weapons every year.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if he got considerably better weapons this year. So is he going to take another giant leap like we saw from year one to year two to year three? If he stays the same, you're fine with it. Absolutely. But, you know, we've seen it with Lamar, right? I mean, you get the you know, massive rushing touchdowns 1 year and then maybe not so much the next year. And so trusting rushing touchdowns is hard for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But is Lamar an offensive coordinator issue? That's a whole new ball of wax.
Yeah.
and real quick, just to go back on your Josh Allen take, I think the media sort of overblown his interceptions because he only has two more than Patrick Mahomes. He had 14, Mahomes had 12, Burrow had 12 as well. But the media made it sound like he was a turnover machine, and he really actually wasn't. He only had, he was like 35 touchdowns to 14 interceptions. So not terrible.
He had a stretch there, unfortunately, where he went, it was two for three straight games. That's what did it.
Yep, and that was the narrative.
You know, of his 14 interceptions right there. So, I mean –
yeah, somebody who just got fired from ESPN caught onto that and ran with it for 3-4 weeks and the rest of the season.
All right, well, let's move on here to our next debate here.
All right. And, so the next two guys we got here is, speaking of running quarterbacks, Mr. Justin Fields, who is currently at 47.6 QB7, and Mr. Sonny, Trevor Lawrence, 61.8 and 8th QB. So obviously Fields ran like crazy last season. I mean, first question is, are we thinking that's going to continue? I mean, if not, okay. He attempted the 27 most passes in the NFL last season. You know, granted that was behind injured players such as Kyler, Lamar, Tannehill, or even benched players like Baker and Jacoby Brissett. Now, we want to take we want to take the hope that he will run for over 1,000 yards again, but you know, maybe go, are we hoping for that, or are we gonna go for a more balanced Trevor Lawrence? Jeff, I'll start with you.
So I think looking at those two ADPs, I think the decision for me would be super easy, and that's Trevor Lawrence. I think waiting those extra whatever it is, a couple rounds. Over Justin Fields, like you mentioned, he ran like crazy. He had a couple of the top 10 plays of the season on some of his runs that he had, you know. And is that repeatable? I don't know. I don't know if you can count on that. I think he will still have obviously plenty of rushing upside. He'll have those games where he'll probably win you a week. But Trevor Lawrence is going to be, I think he's going to take that next step forward, you know, even from what he did last year, take another step forward. They got some more weapons for him. They got Calvin Ridley now. They got a running back in the backfield, Tank Bigsby to back up ETN. I think that offense is going to be one of the better offenses in the NFL, and I think Lawrence is going to have a monster season. So with this ADP where it's at and the uncertainty of just Justin Fields and his passing ability, I'll take Trevor Lawrence all day.
All
right. That was spicy. One of the most, what was it, better offenses, productive offenses? I didn't catch the adjective, but I was like, oh!
Yes, I think the Jags will be one of the better offenses in the league this year for sure.
I don't disagree.
Yeah,
I mean, okay. I feel like I'm just feeling those feelings of, but I will agree with you. I think Trevor Lawrence is still the better pick. As much as I want to root for Justin Fields, as much as he did run, like you said, is that sustainable? Have the Bears picked up enough to succeed? It surely seems like it. They were stacking and stacking for sure during that offseason, trying to make a better team. But overall, just thinking of my own fantasy leagues, Justin Lawrence, the mixing of the two.
You're like me. Later on, I wrote Daniel Smith because it was Daniel Jones versus Geno Smith, and I just like flubbed it. So, yes. Glad I'm not the only one. Thank you.
No, you're not. Trevor Lawrence, for sure, I feel is very exciting to watch. He just really pulled me into the game. So if we're talking again, fantasy versus real life, is there a comparison there? I surely do enjoy watching Trevor Lawrence, and I liked seeing what he did for my fantasy teams.
Yeah, I am all in on Trevor Lawrence. Kind of going... not quite, even more to another level above Jalen Hurts. Like, I don't trust Justin Fields to repeat what he did last year. Not a chance. His passing ability isn't there. Yes, they added DJ Moore. Doesn't matter. I don't know. If he can't throw an accurate ball, then it's not going to matter. And that's my thing with him. So Trevor Lawrence, to me, is the one to have here. And I think his ADP is climbing. I actually think we will see this get close. These will get closer as the season nears. I think what you're looking at right now is everybody just sees, you know, Justin Fields was almost 20 points per fantasy game in 15 games last year, and Trevor Lawrence was 17 in 17 games. You know, so like you're looking at the points per game, but like you got to remember, like that offense was still figuring things out last year and trying to recover from the debacle of his rookie season. And we won't mention names with their coaching staff, but it was a disaster. And so like they really picked up steam in the last half of the year. And it was like, holy cow, he was amazing. You know, there were comparisons of Trevor Lawrence to being one of the best prospects coming out of college. For a reason. This guy is going to ball out. And if there is anybody, in my opinion, who can break into that Mahomes-Allen Hurts range, it is Trevor Lawrence this year. So Trevor Lawrence, for me, is the hands-down pick out of these two.
Do you have the data on the interceptions? Because I feel like interceptions were an issue. And like you said, the second half of the season, he really like kind of came together. Things started to gel.
So he had... 8 total. He had 6 before week or through week 8. So he only had
that's what I was thinking. Like early on, I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening?
And he doesn't run a lot, right? I thought he would run more, like knowing what we saw at Clemson with him. You think he's athletic, but he doesn't need to run, right?
He's very Mahomes-ish.
Yeah, but like, and I mean, he still had, what, 7 rushing touchdowns last year? That's pretty damn good. Or no, sorry, he had 5, 7 total in his career. You know, I think, you know, he'll be able to kind of, exactly like you said, that's a great comp there. Like, kind of Mahomes-ish with his running style. He runs when he needs to, not because the, you know, it's like the scramble mode. Like, he has one read and go. Like, he doesn't have to. But he can. He really can. He is that athletic.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing to look at here, too, with him is, you know, he basically flip-flopped his touchdowns and interceptions. You know, he had only 12 in touchdowns in 2021. He, you know, doubled that with 25 throwing. And then he basically cut his interceptions in half from 17 to 8. So if he can maintain that and then add in even more throwing touchdowns or get a few of those rushing touchdowns, you know, maybe he will get a little more mobile. I don't know if he necessarily needs to. You know, the other thing to look at here is, okay, yeah, Fields is now getting DJ Moore to throw to, and hopefully a healthy Mooney. So we'll see what happens with that. But you know, on the flip side, Lawrence is also getting Calvin Ridley, who is a former fantasy star in leagues. Granted, he hasn't played in 2 years. So we have yet to see what we can get out of him. But I don't really look at 21 as Lawrence's rookie season because it was such an absolute mess. Yeah. And obviously I'm a huge Doug Peterson fan, since he brought, you know, the title to Philly. So I couldn't be happier for him in this landing spot in general. I think this is a great team for him to build and continue to build and work with. So I'm going with Lawrence as well. You know, the draft status alone is very helpful, but
yeah,
there's so much more behind it that,
I mean, you know, that we've, I'll say this, talked about. Pink's picks here, you know, Lawrence gained Kirk and Ingram last year. Now, of course, you know, he gains Ridley this year, so that's another help. He does make a good point. Fields not only gains DJ Moore, but he also gets a better line. They did upgrade the offensive line. So maybe that reduces Justin Fields' reliance on the run as much, and maybe he can pass the ball downfield a little bit better. I don't know if we want him to do that as from a fantasy. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'll be honest. Like, I've been a big hater on Ohio State quarterbacks for a long time. They come from this just factory of just stud receivers, stud offensive lines, stud running backs, and the quarterbacks look really good because of it. Outside of Justin Fields, name me the last quarterback that did anything for us in fantasy.
Kirk Herbstreit.
Kirk Herbstreit. Wrong. But anyway, that's funny. But yeah, point proven there. So thank you.
Yeah. Real quick, I just want to piggyback on something that Kelly said about the, you know,
were you watching last week's show when we mentioned piggyback as like our drinking word of the week? By the way,
I did not.
Andy Cohen back in the house.
Sorry, keep going.
But she mentioned about how he struggled early in the season, and just to piggy, you know, to go on that with that comment with Evan Ingram being new, with Christian Kirk being new, with the new coaching staff, you know, he kind of got it about halfway through the season. They all started clicking. Mm-hmm. If that second half of the season carries over to a full season next year, I think you're right. I think Lawrence could be up in that elite conversation.
Absolutely,
guys.
Thanks, Big Braxton Miller. I love the name pull. This is awesome.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, next up here, we got another one. This one's fun. Tua Tagovailoa and Dak Prescott. Tua is at 95.1 overall ADP, QB 11. Dak's at 86.8, QB 9. On a per game basis, Tua was better last year.
What?
Oh, yes. On a per game basis, Tua had 17.8. Unless I can't read, where's Dak? Dak was 16.6. This is fantasy data. I'm on here. Good friends with them.
Okay.
So anyway, but obviously we know the injury risk with Tua. The head injuries are bad. I know they address that offensive line as well. Thanks, Terrell Pryor. Stop it. You're just making my point even
just
better.
On the
love OSU, it. Like, I mean, but look, Dak's not out of the water with injuries either, right? I mean, he's had his own. He misses games regularly, it feels like, and did last year as well. So out of these two, I mean, like, if you could get a full season out of them, I think everybody would love that. And, you know, if you're going to wait on quarterback to the back end of the QB1 territory, I think these are two solid guys to get. But which one out of these two would you rather have? Kelly, you go.
It pains me to watch Tua, like, as a mom and as a human. But secondly, I feel like he had one great game, which was like week two, I think, against Baltimore. I know it's against Baltimore because Baltimore is what we watch in our house, other than the Cardinals. But that was like a monster week of well over 400 passing yards. And then it's very hit and miss from there.
Six touchdowns, like, too. That's a good one.
Doesn't that skew the data, people? If you have a monster week, I feel like that can skew the data, whereas Dak Prescott was pretty steady in the 200-plus yards range.
I will say this. Dak also had a 382 three-touchdown game against Detroit, a 300 three-touchdown game against Chicago, a 285 three-touchdown game against Cleveland 3 weeks in a row. That's pretty solid.
Right.
It was just, I mean, he had some nice weeks. It was after he got those head injuries. He really, the second one especially, he slowed down. Like, they played it safe with him. They stopped letting him sit back there and just chuck at the Tyreek Hill after he went 50 yards.
If I had a pick, it would be Dak Prescott, and I think only for consistency's sake. I look at numbers a lot of the day when I'm making a bunch of marketing plans, and I hate when I see something that stands out and just skews that data for me. So I'm going to go with Dak Prescott, if only for the consistency.
Real quick, I was bored a little bit back here. I took out that game for you, Kelly. You take out that game, you average it. It came out to 16 points per game for him. You take that out.
So there you go.
So yeah. You're taking that out, but you're also just reducing that one the game. But you're also reducing the game. Games, right? Reducing not just game, reducing the points.
Well, yep, he had
1 second.
Makes it even.
You can't
out.
Reduce the points and then also divide by 13. You have to reduce the points.
I'm
and then
sure
also
we can do
12.
Some very good math around this.
Just making sure, Mike.
Pythagorean is.
It was 12, by the way. It was 12 games.
All right. So okay. Yeah. No. I mean, that game obviously skews. I mean, look, we see that all the time with you know, I always say that Amari Cooper is like my enemy in receivers because he's always until last year when he was going to like the 12th round and I was like, well, fine, I'll take him now. He's always one of those like inconsistent players. I still like Tua, but I'm with you. I'm on Dak over Tua here, and it's maybe not so much that I think Dak is the better fantasy player overall. It's that I really just don't think Tua is surviving a full season. I just really don't, and if I knew Tua was going to survive a whole season, I'd probably have him up at like QBE 6 or 7. I really believe Tua is that much better than Dak at this point. It has better weapons overall. Like, I really do. But I just don't think it's happening. So, I don't know. Jeff, what do you think?
So, I've just been biding my time here because I am a huge Tua believer. I've actually gone on a podcast and said that if he is healthy for a full 16 or 17 games, that he will be in the MVP candidacy for this year. I think he could have been there last year had he stayed healthy, honestly. A couple of things I want to dispel about Tua that people just seem to think that he's this check down guy. Anybody want to guess who led the league in ADOT last year as quarterback? That was Tua.
Do we want to say Tua? Yeah,
it was Tua. And in deep rate, there's only two quarterbacks higher than him. And as far as deep rate percentage, Russell Wilson and surprisingly Mac Jones was kind of a weird one that I didn't think to see. I'd see him up there. But again, he can throw the deep ball. He is accurate. Offense is what held him back a couple of years ago when he was doing all those dump downs. He is extremely accurate. He actually, of those guys that had the deep balls, he had the highest percentage of completed passes. Obviously, Tyreek Hill helps that, but you know, he has Tyreek Hill. We can't discount that. And he has Jalen Waddle, who's also very fast. So he's got great weapons. He's got a great offensive coach who just knows how to scheme things up to get players open. The caveat, of course, that everybody's talked about is the health. And if he cannot stay healthy, obviously he can't be a fantasy star for you. However, if they could find a way to keep him healthy, keep him on the field, I truly think that he is sort of a dark horse to get into that elite tier for this season, at least. After that, I think Tyreek Hill's contract expires and supposedly he's retiring. Then we can reevaluate. But as of this year, I think Tua has a great chance. If you're a wait on quarterback kind of player like I am, Tua is the guy that I'm targeting for sure. I think the narrative is wrong on him. I think that if he can find a way to stay healthy, and that's a big if, obviously, but you're only injury prone until you're not, right? And that's kind of how I've always looked at it. You're injury prone until you're not. You know, we've seen players before that are injury prone in the beginning of their career, Matthew Stafford being one of them. you know, early on, he was always in and out of the lineup, always injured, and then he went on this Iron Man streak where he didn't miss any games for, like, seasons after seasons. So not saying Tua is going to be that, but if he can find a way to stay healthy, I do think that he can surprise a lot of people this year.
Yeah, and just, you know, bouncing back off of that with the injuries, Joe, you had mentioned with Dak. Dak's played 16 games and started 16 games his first 4 years from 2016 to 19. He missed a ton of time in 2020, only played five games, but he was off to a torrid start with 371.2 yards per game average in those first season. Five starts. Again, in 21, he played 16 games, and last year he played 12. So it's almost like the, you know, the Anthony Rendon of fantasy baseball talk, where we think he's an injury guy, but he's actually not. So
yeah, I think with me and Dak, for me with me about Dak, it's that two out of the last three seasons he's been. Yeah. Yeah, he's missed bias. Pretty significant time.
Yeah, the and,
you know, with the draft capital you're paying up for him, and maybe not as much this year, but, you know, it that hurts. And then, you know, even when he was on the field last year, like, I mean, 16.5 points from your quarterback on average, you need more than that to win. And that's why we're seeing guys like Mahomes and Allen Hurts go in the first two rounds, because people are just like, screwed, I don't want to have to guess. I'm just going to block these three in and be done. You know, and I get it. So.
Next two we got then.
Yeah. Next
just two. One more thing I wanted to add too with the, you know, with Tua and his peak week that he had, that huge week. The thing that I want to say about that is Dak didn't really have a peak week last year. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need that in fantasy. You need that, you know, two or three peak weeks a season that can just win you a week based on just a monster game.
He did not score over 30 points in a single game last year. In fact, he only scored over 25 twice.
Yeah, so that's something that I
look at. That's not good for a quarterback.
Yeah, you got to have those weeks. If you're going to pay up, you know, for a quarterback, which I still think you're paying up a little bit for these two guys, you know, not quite as high as the other guys we've talked about, but you're still paying a pretty good premium. You want to have at least a couple weeks a season where they just go out and just win you the week and just throw four or five touchdowns.
How crazy is this to say? Dak Prescott only scored 1.6 points more per game than Russell Wilson.
and we think he was terrible.
Wow. Yeah. How about that? All right. Next up here, this was interesting. Deshaun Watson, who was miserable last year when he finally came back on the field and is a total dirtbag, 89.8 overall ADP going as QB10. Anthony Richardson going 105.9, 12th QB off the board. Look, I legit am just, I'm going to say this right out. I'm staying away from both of these guys. If this is what my decision has come to, it's like, who's the best receiver? Like, no, I don't want either one of these guys. I get the hype on any one of them. Watson has been a phenomenal QB in the past. Does he return to that? I have no idea. Richardson, an athletic freak. We know this. Can he be an NFL quarterback? I kind of don't see it. I really don't. And yes, NFL quarterback and fantasy quarterback, as Kelly has said before, doesn't always matter, right? You can be a terrible NFL quarterback, but you'd be a great fantasy quarterback. I'm not sure that Richardson's going to be a good enough NFL quarterback to be a good enough fantasy quarterback, if that makes sense. Meaning, I don't know if that offense is going to sustain drives, score enough points. Yeah, he's going to have some bonkers games. We know this. Because he's just going to run wild at times. But it took Fields a whole year to figure that out. Is Richardson going to do it in year one? I'm not sure. So with that being said, Jeff, I'm going to let you start here because I think we let Kelly go last time. Who are you taking out of one of these two?
I'm with you. I'm not taking either one of them. I'm looking at the running backs, receivers in the same range. But if I had to choose one of them, I will take Deshaun Watson. I'm not going to put my fancy hopes on a rookie quarterback. It is very rare that a rookie quarterback comes in and puts up monster numbers. I just pulled up the couple of rookies' seasons. Cam Newton, of course, is number one in 2011. Justin Herbert a few years ago had a really big season. Robert Griffin III, Kyler Murray, Andrew Luck. But it doesn't happen very often, you know, and especially with a quarterback that we already had question marks when coming in. You know, Cam Newton was the number one overall pick. Robert Griffin III, number one overall pick. Kyler Murray, number one overall pick. Justin Herbert is the one outlier in that. He was number five, I believe. But AR, you know, he's a great quarterback with his legs. I have question marks with his arm and learning the speed of the NFL. I think he's going to take some time to adjust. I'm just not going to put my hopes on a rookie quarterback. Deshaun Watson, we've at least seen him do it. You know, it's been a little while since we've seen him do it, but we have seen him do it with a full offseason and a full season under his belt. Hopefully he can put up a season like he had when he was in Houston. But like you said, if I had to choose, I'm choosing Deshaun Watson, but I really don't want to choose either one of these guys.
I agree. Kelly, what do you think?
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said he has been Deshaun Watson.
Has been.
If gun to my head, I'm going with a fresh new blood. I have enjoyed seeing, stories of Pittman out there throwing the ball before the season even starts. They have a talented team. I think that we could see some magic. Why not? I would take him well over Deshaun Watson.
I will say this. In Scott Fish, Anthony Richardson really intrigues me because the lack of negatives. What do we see a lot from rookie quarterbacks?
Interceptions,
turnovers, right? Mistakes.
Facts.
You don't have to worry about it. Now, of course, you make mistakes. That means less touchdowns probably. But the negative points here, you know, you get from those rookies because of all the mistakes, it's just massive, in my opinion, when it comes, you know, to most of them. So he does intrigue me in Scott Fish, especially in that, you know, a 3,300 person large field tournament type thing. You got to go take a chance.
Yeah.
You know, because if you pass on the Richardson, you know, you're probably getting, you know, Kirk. Like, we all know Kirk's fine, you know, but he's not winning you, Scott Fish. Let's be real. He's just kind of like, he might get you to the playoffs and then go on like, oh, man, I didn't get that 30-point game from my QB2. That's because you had Captain Kirk. Sorry. So, you know, it is what it is. But, AJ, anything else to add or you just want to move on to the next
one? Just real quick, the interesting thing, I would also take Richardson, from my former Gators fandom and well, still fandom, but he's just a freak athlete. I think having Shane Steichen there, you know, again, Eagles plug, but we saw what he did with Hurts the past 3 years, and it really was Steichen that was doing a lot of the work there, with the play calling and everything. Excuse me. So I'm excited to see what that will turn into. And I agree with Kelly. There is some talent on that team. It's a young team. I think they're going to be hungry. I think they're going to want to, you know, come into the season with a chip on their shoulder. And, you know, that division is kind of wide open. I think Jacksonville is still going to take the division, but it wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, the rest of the division fall apart around the Colts too. So
you remember that Shane Steichen is no longer on the Eagles, right? You don't have to root for him anymore.
I'm not necessarily saying I'm rooting for him. I'm just saying that he was a solid offensive for a coordinator. Good coach. And yes.
And now Anthony Richardson gets him. Absolutely. No, that's a great point. I like it.
So, speaking of Daniel Smith and Geno Jones here, these are our next two guys up. We've got Danny Dimes, and He's sitting at 119.6, 15 QB. Geno right behind him there, 123.7, but QB16. So pretty close round wise for these two. You know, less than a half round between them, really. Both of these guys pretty much had breakout campaigns last year. I don't know if people are really believing in the repeat, though. So, Kelly, are you believing in a repeat? And if so, which one do you trust more?
It is so hard not to say Daniel Jones because he is just so darn cute. And they have an amazingly talented team. So it is hard not to say Daniel Jones, but I am going to say Geno Smith. And the reason I'm going to say Geno Smith is because I don't feel like he ever had the opportunity to show what kind of quarterback he was. They gave him that opportunity and he ran with it. The guy is good and he's going to continue to be good.
Yeah, that is one piece of analysis that I don't think any of the three of us could give. We could not say that Daniel Jones is cute, and that's why he wanted to take it.
I will say the cutest thing about Daniel Jones is when he breaks off for like a 70-yard run, and you just see those stat numbers already going up, and then he trips and fumbles on himself. That, to me, is
by the way, especially there, in the Eagles game. There is some video I saw somewhere of some dude, like, he's like, next to his TV, and he'll like, it's like random clips, like cartoon clips, movie clips, whatever, and he'll like touch it at the right moment, and then it was like a Tom and Jerry thing, and like the mouse was running, and he'd like hit it, the mouse would fall. They did the Daniel Jones run, and all of a sudden he had a broom, and goes, Daniel Jones stumbles and then falls. I was like, yes. I wanted to send that to Keith so bad.
Yes, hashtag suck at Keith.
Yes, there we go. There we go. All right, Jeff, what you got?
So I will take Daniel Jones in this scenario, and it is because of his legs. I think it kind of builds a safe floor for Daniel Jones. So if he does regress at all in his passing ability, I think his legs kind of makes up a little bit for it. Also, being a Niner fan, I can't pick anything with Seattle. It's just hard to do. Geno had a great season last year. It's his one outlier season in what? How long has he been in the league? 8-9 years. It's hard to really buy into that. Not that Jones has had any great seasons by any means, but he's a little bit younger. He has the ability to run, which Geno runs a little bit, but not anything like Daniel Jones does. And no. I do think that the one thing Geno has going for him, and the one argument I'll make for him, is he got the better weapons. I mean, he's got DK Metcalf. He's got JSN. He's got Tyler Lockett. He's got two good running backs now in the backfield.
Right.
So he does have the better weapons.
They're loading up there.
Yeah.
To where the Giants were, we don't, they got a lot of receivers, but we don't know who, we like don't know nine, who they're actually going to throw to every week. Like, it's crazy. Like
nine slot receivers.
Yeah.
We're all slot.
Yeah.
Like, I'll say this. My rankings have Jones higher. I'm not taking him there. It just doesn't. The projections say Jones. The, you know, all the everything you build out say Jones. I want the savings, the draft savings, which on Sleeper isn't a savings, but as far as most projection systems I've seen and other drafts I've been in, Smith is going a lot later than what this shows. You can get Geno a lot later, and like what Jeff, you were saying, got better weapons. He's been around for a while and he hasn't really broken out, but Kelly, you said it too, like he has really never been given that good of a chance, and when he did, like, he had really crappy teams in New York. Like, I mean, like, what are you gonna do there when you got that kind of thing going on? Like, I think Jones has the potential to be good. And obviously, he has a great coaching staff around him now, which is, I think, why we saw what we saw last year with him, finally. I'm just not – it's hard to trust that when, like, your leading receiver is Isaiah Hodgins, possibly. Like, really? I don't know.
Sterling Shepard's still there, okay?
Yep, but that dude's, like, eighth on the depth chart, and next week could be second. We don't know.
Yeah, he has no
That's
knees.
The thing. Like,
his knees are now gone. I mean, they're taking, like, ACLs from other people. To put
like, AJ, you do the depth charts on Fantasy Sixpack. You know that's got to be the largest, like you're hitting, like, alt-enter, like, eight times on the Giants one.
preseason, offseason, whatever you want to call it, I specifically tried to keep the receivers at like six. And it was very hard for me to do that for the Giants because there's
you're like
so
linking
many
to guys. Like a Google spreadsheet and going like, nope, here's the Giants. It's needed its own like life over here. No. Yeah. I'm in on Geno. I really just think the excitement around Geno is cool. The one thing to worry about Geno is like his second half was not very good. So like you do have to worry about that. He really did sort of stumble a little bit down the stretch. So
I think I have a reason for that, and I could be wrong, but I think he played a lot of really good defenses. I know he played us twice within a 4-week period. He played us twice, and we have really good defense.
Us, the Niners.
The Niners. I don't know. I think I recall them playing a bunch of defenses at the end of
the season. They played the Niners in week 2 and week 15, so...
So that was wrong.
Not, so, not good. But no, they did play the Niners. They played the Chiefs. They played the Jets and they played the Rams, although, yeah. And then, but they played the Rams twice. I mean, the Rams still had a pretty solid defense no matter what. Carolina was not good and they didn't do well against them either. But, the turnovers in the last part of the season kind of showed its head with him, too. So that's something to worry about. So
the main guy potentially is Darius Slayton and then rookie Jalin Hyatt.
Again, you can go to like five different sites for the Giants receiving depth chart, and you're going to find five different answers. I have.
Darren Waller is going to lead the team in receptions. And he doesn't even play.
In what, five games? Because he's not going to stay healthy. Anyway, let's move on here. Last one here, and we've mentioned this name already. We're going to do Russell Wilson. 113.9 at QB 8. Oh, that's got to be wrong. I probably meant to say 131.9. I typed that in wrong. So I apologize for that. QB 18, but Aaron Rodgers, 113.4 in QB 14. Both veterans, both had really bad years, according, you know, up for their standards.
Not 113's right.
Is it really 113? There's really a. Oh,
not for Russ.
Oh, yeah. What about Russ? What?
I thought you were talking.
It's 133.
No. Yeah. I don't know why I typed one, whatever. Anyway, 133 for Russell Wilson, 133.9. So, you know, a good two round savings there. Who do you want out of either one of these guys? A none is fine, honestly. But there is like hope for both of these quarterbacks this year. I hear it. I sometimes believe it. I'm not really sure at the same time. You know, we get Rodgers going to the Jets, and now he's getting a lot of his old friends that came with him, which you're going like, it didn't work in Green Bay. You really think it's going to work here? But then he adds Garrett Wilson to the mix, right? So maybe that's the missing piece. Okay. Then you get Russell Wilson. So horrible, horrible year last year. But now he's getting Sean Payton, who can – everybody think can just work his magic and make Russell Wilson again. What do you all think? I don't remember who went first last time. I apologize.
I think I went first.
All right, Jeff.
All right, so out of these two, I'm taking Russell Wilson. I do expect a bit of a bounce-back season for him because of some of the things you just mentioned, you know, new coaching staff. You know, when Russell Wilson was with Seattle, a popular comp, at least in the pocket numbers, not his rushing ability, but he was comped to Drew Brees a lot with the consistency and the accuracy and everything else. Of course, now he's got Drew Brees' former coach as his coach. And the staple of that offense a lot of times was the running backs and catching balls out of the backfield and just taking it, you know, getting those little short chunk plays, which last year Russell Wilson didn't do a lot of. So that'll be built into the offense. That kind of pads his numbers a little bit. And the fact that, you know, you're just dumping it off to Javonte Williams or whoever's coming out of that backfield. Whereas Aaron Rodgers in his offense, he has a defensive-minded coach, came from the Niners. He's going to want to run a run-heavy scheme with, you know, play good defense, run the ball, and we'll win games. And Rodgers won't turn the ball
over. Plays.
Yes, exactly. They're going to play a very slow pace. I think Rodgers is renowned, obviously, not throwing interceptions. So that's the perfect quarterback for that system. Just run the ball, play good defense. Don't turn the ball over and we'll win this game. And that's, I think they're going to play that, you know, in New York. Whereas I think Russell Wilson in that offense wants to be more high flying. They got the weapons. I think Jerry Jeudy has a breakout season. Sutton's a good number two. I think Judy's going to be the number one this year. I mentioned Javonte Williams already. I just think that offense is ready to take off, and I think Russell Wilson really wants to prove that he's not the quarterback that he was last year.
And careful, Aaron Rodgers threw 12 picks last year.
Yeah, that's a good call.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, I don't really think that's him, but yeah. Kelly.
Does Aaron Rodgers even want to play football anymore? Did he even want to play last year? I mean, what? There could be no least exciting quarterback that I want to watch than Aaron Rodgers. If we're talking about Russell Wilson, bad taste in everyone's mouth, right? But I do agree there is an offense who has just been dying to break out. And perhaps this new coaching is just what they needed. But there is no way that I am going to rely on Aaron Rodgers for any kind of fantasy points. I feel like he had his day, right? We could look at Joe Flacco almost in the same way, where Joe Flacco had his time. And then they stand there like a cardboard cutout. And you know what happens? Nothing. Boring, boo, yuck.
I'm with you.
I feel this whole topic for these two guys is just very Shawshank Redemption right now, because you want to think about hope, and hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. Well, guess what? Aaron Rodgers has died and come back and is ready to die again on his throne of ayahuasca darkness. You know, not that I'm knocking either darkness or ayahuasca, but I just don't know what the hell this guy is doing. I mean, he's also like the Matthew McConaughey character in Dazed and Confused. I mean, all right.
I mean, like,
what are you doing?
I called it a couple of years ago, and AJ, you know this. Like, I was like, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers did a great quarterback, don't get me wrong, but like, he was literally just heaving the ball to Devontae Adams at times, and you're just like, I mean, yes, holy crap, pinpoint accuracy in the back corner of the end zone or the front corner of the end zone or whatever, Devontae Adams was catching those balls. That is an unreal chemistry that you're not going to find anywhere else, and now that that's gone, we're seeing what's happening. And like, with those seasons with Adams, I mean, it was like he had his normal stat line. And Blaine, you're a Packers fan, you know this, right? It was like 220 yards and 4 touchdowns. It was just like, holy crap. He threw the ball like 22 times a game. There were just 4 of them were touchdowns. That's how he got his fantasy points. That's almost unimaginable to repeat, as much as like some of these running quarterbacks that we're seeing, like that is just not happening. You need to be able to pass the ball more consistently, get over 300 yards more to be a consistent quarterback. And as soon as he lost Adams, plummeted like a rock last year. And I mean, we saw that even with Rodgers, the 3 seasons basically prior to Devontae Adams just breaking out like crazy, we weren't thinking of him as a top-notch QB for some time.
Yeah, and Rodgers too is a guy that, and the reason he brought all his guys is because he likes to have chemistry with his guy.
Yeah.
And he had that chemistry with Devontae Adams. There was a play 2 years ago, or a drive 2 years ago, where they were on the goal line, and 3 straight plays, they ran the exact same play, exact same route, and he threw it to Devontae Adams all 3 times, scored on the final one. That's the kind of connection that he's not going to have with the New York Jets right now.
No.
Maybe he'll get it with Garrett Wilson eventually, but that takes a lot of reps and a lot of trust, and he's not going to have that with those receivers.
Yeah.
In my opinion, he is the perfect example of a really good NFL quarterback, but not a good fantasy quarterback.
I mean, he's had phenomenal seasons.
Because
don't
of
get
the
me
touchdown
wrong.
Spikes. He yeah, never don't... gets you the yards. He always gets you 3+ touchdowns, though.
Yes, he's very good at throwing. He's very efficient with how he plays. But yes, it is very touchdown heavy. crazy to say this. He's never thrown for over 5,000 yards.
Not even close, I don't think.
But I think he has three seasons over 40 touchdowns.
He's only thrown over 4,500 yards once. I mean, that's just been his game. Yeah. He's just a smart guy, smart quarterback. Knows not to throw the ball into trouble. He'll throw it away before he throws an interception.
Which is a trait that I think quarterbacks sometimes don't have.
For an NFL team, that's a good thing. For a fantasy team, sometimes you want them to take the chance because sometimes those plays work, right? And you're like, oh, man, that was a 40-yard touchdown. Well, it just was a throwaway, and the next play, they run the ball 3 yards and they punt. So you got nothing. So, all right. I think we're up for some rapid fire to close things out here.
Yeah, just want to throw these names out there because we've kind of touched on them a little bit throughout the show, most of them here, but got three different topics. We've got, you know, the young gun tier options, which is Joe Burrow sitting at QB4 and 34.7 draft spot, and Justin Herbert 47.1 QB6. Kelly, which one of these guys do you want more?
Justin Herbert.
Jeff?
Joe.
I'm going Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Give me the guy who's got two, in my opinion, two wide receiver ones.
What about you, AJ?
I think I got to go Burrow.
I like
Herbert.
What's that? Our producer.
I like Herbert. I like his weapons, but they are aging weapons, and a little more injury prone, I guess, at this point. So
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was gonna say the only thing that Herbert really has for him that Burrow does not have is he'll be playing in good weather games towards the end of the season, where Burrow will be playing in places like Cleveland and stuff like that. So
he's also gonna get Kellen Moore, which is a huge plus.
Yeah, good point.
Definitely.
So, but I'm still on Burrow. The receiving core there is
I
love me some Kellen Moore, and I want Mike Williams to be a thing. I'm just not really sure it's going to be, and I don't know if anybody's going to trust TCU, Quentin Johnston. AJ knows how that feels with TCU receivers.
Not after the Jalen Reagor experiment.
Yeah. All right, so next rapid fire here. Kirk Cousins, who I just mentioned earlier, and Jared Goff. Who wants this one?
I'll go first. I'll take Jared Goff. This offense is expected to be explosive, which is why they're playing in the first game of the season versus the Chiefs. And I think we know what Kirk Cousins is, and there's no upside with him. It's just it is who he is. I think there's some upside with Goff.
Agreed. Jared Goff, true best offense of the NFL.
Woo! Shots fired, Jeff. Love it.
I'm not a Lions fan of that. Like, per se, but I would say the Lions are America's team at this point, and Jared Goff, let's go.
Dave Eddy, where are you at, man?
Lions fan,
where are you at?
You're not listening. Pocket passer tier options. I'm going to go with Goff, too. So, Cousins, you like that? Sorry. You got the best receiver, you know, option. But
yeah, nothing else.
Amon Ra's not too far behind, in my opinion.
What? Dude, no, don't say that. You were good before.
Be bold.
For what he does for that offense.
Wear a mustache.
I get it. You know, it's funny, like, my projections say Kirk. You know, it's going to be higher than Goff, but I don't want Kirk over Goff. Like, if I'm drafting in that range and, you know, taking my QB2, I want Goff over Kirk. Kirk's going to be safer. He's going to, you know, he's going to be steady. Because he's got Jefferson, and that helps a lot. But Goff's going to have those just monster games. He's just got so much talent around him, as everybody said. And so, yeah, absolutely. I would rather take Goff, especially with a little bit of a discount, it sounds like. Yeah. So,
all right, last one. Here, the oldie but goodie question mark on the prompter. Tier options, we've got Derek Carr versus Matthew Icepack Stafford.
Exactly. Derek Carr. Let's skip the ice packs. Let's go on an adventure.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm going Matthew Stafford. I think Derek Carr, similar to Chris, Kirk Cousins, is what he is. And I think there's a little bit of upside to Matthew Stafford. He's got an offensive-minded head coach. He has, you know, arguably the second best receiver in the NFL in Cooper Kupp. And I think that they're going to have a bounce back season, at least offensively. I think they're still going to be a terrible team, but offensively they'll put up points.
You hope they're a terrible team.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you, Jeff. I like Stafford a little bit more here in this range. I don't want nothing to do with him in a one QB league, but in a two QB super flex type of league, if these are the guys that I'm coming down to, I'm taking my chances on Stafford for a bounce back. You know, again, Kupp being. We forget Kupp was still on pace to be the wide receiver one last year. A lot of people do not realize that. They just remember him getting hurt and Stafford being terrible. Yes, Stafford is gonna have his interceptions.
You had it right the first time. His injuries.
He's
on his way out the door. You know, and now here he's back. I don't know.
Yeah, I think. I like the landing spot. He's got some talent there, especially from a Scott Fish standpoint. I love Carr as like a potential later ish option,
and especially with no negatives. Give me Stafford all day and Scott Fish. That is hands down it. Look, Kelly, you said the injuries, and I get it. Like, he's got lingering things going on right now, but. He was injured in 2019 and he was injured last year. The seasons before that, since 2011, he never missed a game. And 2020 and 2021, he didn't miss a game. Stafford's been
wants to be a dad. He wants to stay home. He wants to be old and retire. That's it.
I mean,
dad bod.
He got his Super Bowl. He got his AT&T commercial where he could call out the Lions. And so we're good.
He moved from Detroit to LA. It doesn't get any better.
Love it. I still just think Stafford is the upside play. When you're digging deep at quarterback at this point, Carr is not winning you anything. Stafford can. And he has. Like, we've seen Stafford do it before. What's the best finish Carr has ever had? QB9? Like, I don't even know. I gotta look this up.
Changes in latitudes, changes in attitudes, baby.
I guess.
Looks like his highest finish was QB12, actually.
Okay. Man, I gave him credit.
And that was way back in 2016.
A good year.
Yeah.
I don't even remember who his receivers were. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's his only QB1 finish of his career. He had a QB13 in 2021.
I feel like he was better than that at one point, but
there was there was that MVP, almost MVP season where he got hurt, so that probably
right. Him. Yeah. Okay, that may be what I'm thinking of.
Anyway. Change is my driver. Change is good. Let's see what happens. Shake
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, I mean, look, it could work out. I'm just not, you know, I'm buying Cooper Kupp over Chris Olave and a dead Michael Thomas at this point. So, and who knows if Kamara is going to avoid prison at this point. So who knows? It's just, give me Stafford, who did it before with kind of the same people around him. And let's see what happens. At that point in the draft, they're like, just go with the upside. Oops, I just totally bounced my microphone. Sorry about that. All right. That is it for the show. I want to thank both of you for coming on. I had a great time, and I hope everybody learned a lot listening to this. I know, I learned a little bit. So, Kelly, I'll let you go first, and just remind everybody where they can find you on Twitter and what you got going on this year.
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Twitter at Kelly and Phoenix. You can use that handle across all of the socials and hang out with me. You can also check out trophysmack.com, where we have officially launched a exciting new sweepstakes, Win the Ultimate. Pro Football Experience, two tickets to LA, round trip for two, hotel, tour of SoFi Stadium, two tickets to the game of your choice at SoFi Stadium, and awesome Trophy Smack gear awaits. So go ahead, visit trophysmack.com. Right now, my little pop-up is broken, but it will be fixed. Click more, click win stuff, and enter.
Does Matt Walsh come with the package? Because if Matt it doesn't, then I am not in.
Every package. He would not miss an opportunity.
I was going to say.
Hang. Guaranteed he'll be your seatmate. I do want to throw out next month, the month of August, Women of Fantasy Football holds our annual fundraiser where we raise money for Galvanize, sending women to media boot camp to learn how to be sports broadcasters. It's a great opportunity. Tune in and bid on some amazing signed gear and hear from some of your favorite women in sports. I am happy to say we've already landed Amy Trask, Princess of Darkness, former NFL Raiders CEO. We're super excited. One of the top 100 people in the NFL influence sphere. Can I say more? Super excited.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, that is fantastic. I will be sure to tune in. Awesome. And I will be looking forward to seeing you at the expo, I imagine. So
yes.
Be looking forward to that as well. So thank you for coming on. And Jeff, where can we find you? What you got?
Well, after all of that, I wish I had gone first. you can find me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Of course, all my stuff is at goingfor2.com. And we just recently launched our goingfor2.live website as well, where you can find all of our podcast stuff. Going for Two Live is on YouTube. We got shows literally every night of the week. So come find that. And then this Sunday at 8:30, I will be making a appearance on the Podathon. I'm gonna say that too. Unless you want to plug that.
I'm excited.
Yeah, you I'll let you plug that one. But yeah, I'm gonna make it my appearance on the Podathon 8:30, and we'll be announcing how much we raised. Going for two.
Oh, rate, nice. Yeah, 4:30.
So
awesome.
Come check
yeah,
us out.
Yeah, I'm doing my spot on Saturday at 2 p.m.
Yeah, I think I picked to sponsor you, so I don't know if they'll run my ad when you're okay. on or not. So
well, that works because we're running the live draft show together that or live draft event together that obviously I thought you were plugging there for a second and I got all excited, but yeah, no, Sunday Scott Fishbowl live draft DC. Jeff and I are hosting it. Kelly and Trophy Smack supplied the boards and a sweet ass ring, which will be auctioned off there. And then AJ,
I'll be there.
AJ will be there being not stupid important. and live on our YouTube channel,
yes,
live broadcasting everything and catching people doing things they probably shouldn't be. So it'll be fun.
Cam, the draft. Yes, I will be live streaming. So
it will be awesome. We are going to have a blast on Sunday. Thank you to Scott for letting us do this and to everybody just being there. So that will be a good time. But that being said, let's close this out. And yeah, thank you again, Kelly and Jeff. With that being said, let's
thank you.
See you all next week.